Radio Prague News.
Members of the Public Affairs Party and leaders of Topo 9 have backed their membership of a centre-right coalition government. The signing of the coalition agreement by party leaders is set to take place on Monday evening. And unemployment eased to 8.5% and inflation stabilised at 1.2% in June. Members of the Public Affairs Party have given overwhelming support to its participation in a centre-right coalition on the basis of a programme hammered out between the three parties. Around 3,000 of the just under 17,000 eligible party voters, or around 78%, voted in favour in an internet ballot which finished at 10 a.m. on Monday morning. The wider leadership of the Topo 9 party also backed the agreement following a meeting on Monday morning. Their partner organisation, the Movement for Mayors and Independents, also gave their support. The executive committee of the Civic Democrats were due to meet on Monday afternoon to debate the policy deal. During negotiations, the Civic Democrats were seen giving away on a number of key points, particularly concerning the share out of ministerial portfolios. The coalition programme should be signed at 6 p.m. on Monday evening. Once the coalition deal has been signed, the Prime Minister-designate Petr Nečas of the Civic Democrats will present it to President Václav Klaus at Prague Castle. Mr. Klaus should then appoint a 15-member cabinet on Tuesday morning. The clock will then start ticking for the new government to win a vote of confidence in the lower house of parliament within 30 days. The three parties have 118 seats in the 200-seat lower house. Unemployment in June fell by 0.2 of a percentage point from May to 8.5%, with almost 488,000 people seeking work, according to the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs. The jobless rate in June 2009 stood at 8%. A stabilisation or slight fall in the unemployment rate had been expected by analysts. Labour offices said the drop was caused by the hiring of seasonal workers on farms and by the construction industry and recruiting by manufacturers. Consumer price inflation in June was 1.2% compared with the same month a year earlier, according to the Czech Statistical Office. That level is unchanged from the rate in May, but around twice the inflation rate of the first few months of the year. The main factors pushing prices up were the higher cost of food, drink and recreation, but clothes and shoe prices fell. Experts expect the trend of rising prices to continue, but not exceed the central bank's guidelines. And finally, a look at the weather. The Czech Republic is continuing to experience a heat wave with temperatures of up to 36 degrees Celsius. Forecasters have also warned of smog. The temperature is expected to decline on Tuesday with the chance of rain. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, the Public Affairs Party continues to provoke controversy over how it will run the Ministry of the Interior. Czech authorities seem flummoxed over a sharp climb in beginning of summer road deaths. Later on, we'll have the news in sport, and after that, in our weekly interview program, we'll be speaking with Ron Yerksa, head of the jury at this year's Karlovy Vary Film Festival.
Well, I think the festival is fantastic, great, so well organized, a lot of fun. I'd heard about it for years, and I was eager to come when I got the invitation. I thought, wow, I've been wanting to go there.
I hope you'll stay with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The centre-right government hasn't even been appointed yet, but already trouble seems to be brewing over personnel changes at the head of the Czech police force. Radek Jon, leader of the Public Affairs Party, conceded in a television interview this weekend that he may replace the police chief with what he called one of our own. The remarks have caused alarm amongst politicians and criticism from the media. Rob Cameron has this report.
public affairs were swept into Parliament on a platform of radical new measures to fight high-level corruption and cronyism, perceived as endemic in the Czech Republic. So there was some dismay this weekend after the party's leader, Radek Jon, said on Czech TV's flagship political discussion programme that his initial decisions as Interior Minister will likely include replacing the police chief, Oldřich Martinů, with what he called one of our own people. Mr. Jon, a TV journalist who entered politics only recently, quickly explained that by one of our own people, he meant a public affairs member or an independent expert. But for Daniel Kaiser, a commentator for Lidové Noviny newspaper, the damage was done.
Radek Jon has removed the head of Czech police even before he got into the ministry. So he talks freely about putting his own people, like people of his own party, into the police, which is something that no one in the past has dared.
Mr. Jon was surrounded by reporters after the show and asked to clarify the comments, which he did, saying that he'd been pushed into making them and that no personnel changes would be made until a thorough analysis had been carried out. It seems almost certain, however, that there will be changes at the top of the police force. Jiří Pehe, former advisor to ex-president Václav Havel, says that is a sign of the lack of maturity of Czech democracy.
It is a habit in Czech politics that new ministers replace top civil servants. And it's also partly because the Czech Republic really doesn't have a good law on civil service that would conform to EU standards. It promised such a law before its accession to the EU, but then the law was suspended and actually never went into effect. So we are still in a situation in which the state administration is heavily politicized, and the ministers tend to replace a lot of people once they get into their seats.
Daniel Kaiser described Mr. Jon's comments as public affairs' first big mistake. Jiří Pehe believes the party and Mr. Jon are so unpredictable the centre-right coalition could fall apart long before its four-year mandate is up. The much-vaunted stability of the new centre-right government could be held hostage, he says, by the unreadable nature of its two smaller coalition allies, who are both political unknowns.
That was Rob Cameron with that report. After several months of decline in the number of traffic accidents, the first 2 weeks of the summer holidays saw a spike in the number of casualties on Czech roads. Authorities blame the increase on a combination of factors, including the heat, but they are at a loss over what should be done to make the country's roads safer. Jan Richter has more.
In 2008, the Czech Transport Ministry poured 150 million crowns, or nearly $7.5 million, into a campaign to warn Czechs to drive more carefully. Entitled You Don't Think, You Pay, it featured graphic videos based on real-life accidents. And it worked, on paper. Nearly all of over 1,400 drivers questioned in a new ministry survey said they were aware of the campaign. Around half said it had led them to change their behavior on the road. But then came the beginning of their summer holidays. In total, 73 people have died since the end of June, with the daily average of road casualties almost tripling. Karel Hanzelka is a spokesman for the Transport Ministry.
In recent years and months, until the beginning of the summer holidays, the number of accidents was decreasing. In late June, we were saying we had the best record in the last 40 years. 3 weeks later, everything has changed. We take this very seriously, and we have to react to this. We would like to appeal to the Czech public. Do not take risks. The traffic is heavy. Many people are travelling. The weather is really hot. All this is important.
Petr Sobotka from the Traffic Police Command says little or nothing could have been done to save more lives at the start of the holidays.
A majority of these accidents couldn't have been prevented by any kind of activity on our side, either policing or road signs or anything like that. The accidents were mostly caused by carelessness. Drivers didn't respect the right of way, they ended up in the wrong lane, and so on. I think the hot weather was also a significant factor here, because it makes people irritable.
The Czech government is in transition, and a new cabinet should be appointed later this week. The Transport and Interior Ministers will have much work to do in this area. Karel Hanzelka says Transport Ministry officials are already aware that something needs to be done. They're just not sure what.
The question is, what should we do? We have strict laws. We have a point system. A colleague of mine who was sitting here last year said, even if we punish traffic violations with the death penalty, it would not help. We invest millions in prevention campaigns, but unfortunately, the outcome is what it is. It's all about people's behaviour, not about the law or preventive campaigns.
The other critical period for Czech drivers comes at the end of August, when people return from their summer holidays. Last year, 14 people died on the last weekend of August alone.
That was Jan Richter. The Czech Republic's premier film showcase, the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, came to an end with the traditional award-giving ceremony on Saturday night. In its 45th year, Central Europe's biggest film festival drew some 127,000 viewers with its selection of over 200 films, about a quarter of which were premieres. Our reporter Sara Barufka has been following this year's winners and now joins me in the studio. So, Sara, tell us about the film that came away with the Grand Prix this year.
So, Christian, this year the main prize, which is a Crystal Globe with a cash award of $30,000, went to a Spanish movie The Mosquito Net, and it deals with guilt complexes in a well-off family and actually stars Geraldine Chaplin, the daughter of Charlie Chaplin, in a silent role of an Alzheimer's patient, and the director Agustí Vilà had this to say.
The problem of our times is that often people try to deny that there's a tragic element to life, one that we have to accept. And to deny it exists is to deny a part of human existence. All characters in the film are denying that this tragic element is there. They're kind of trying to stretch this mosquito net over themselves to protect them from tragedy. And that's comical in the same way that seeing an actor fail is comical, just as it's funny when the actor trips and falls on the floor in silent films. The actors in this film slip as well, all of them slip morally, and the viewer can laugh about that. But I also understand that this film could be understood as a tragedy, because the fact that the characters are trying to escape tragedy is tragic and comical at the same time.
It sounds very interesting indeed. How was the choice received critically?
Well, some critics thought that the jury, which this year, by the way, was headed by U.S. producer Ron Yerxa, kind of went with a safe choice, as this film was certainly not one to offend, and at the same time, it also probably wasn't one of the most discussed films at this year's festival.
Can you mention some of the other winners?
Sure, Christian. So the special jury prize, which comes with a cash award of $20,000, went to Jan Svěrák's animated film Cookie, and that was a hit especially with the audience. Best director this year went to a Croatian director by the name of Rajko Grilić for the film Just Between Us, and it explores the theme of adultery. By the way, at the award ceremony, Grilić actually spoke Czech when he received his award because some decades ago he studied at Prague's FAMU Film School. In the East of the West category, which is a kind of unique category that showcases movies from Central and Eastern Europe, Aurora took the award home. It's a Romanian, French, Swiss, and German co-production, and it's directed by Romanian director Cristi Puiu, who also plays the main part in the movie. And earlier this year, that film was screened at the En Certain Regard section of Cannes. And in terms of awards for acting this year, it's remarkable. The winners this year were very young. The Best Actress Award went to the French actress Anaïs Demustier for her role in Sweet Evil. She's aged 22. And the Best Actor Award this year was shared by two Polish actors for the same film, Mother Teresa of Cats. And it was their names were Mateusz Kosiukiewicz and Filip Garbacz.
Well, many thanks, Sarah. Later on in the program, we'll be speaking with Ron Yerxa, who Sarah mentioned. And those of us who didn't catch the festival can look forward to some of these films at Karlovy Vary retrospectives throughout the year and elsewhere. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, broadcasting by shortwave, via satellite, and on the internet. I'm Christian Falvey. Now, as ever on a Monday, it's time for sports news with Ian Willoughby.
First today, it's tennis, and the Czech Republic have reached the semifinals of this year's Davis Cup after beating Chile in Coquimbo at the weekend. The Czechs were without the injured duo of Tomáš Berdych and Radek Štěpánek, who of course took them all the way to last season's final. But super subs Ivo Mynář, Jan Hájek and Lukáš Dlouhý made light work of the hosts, sealing the best of five tie in only three matches. The Czechs will face a rather sterner test when they take on Serbia in Belgrade for a place in the final. Jaroslav Navratil is the team's non-playing captain.
A high-quality and difficult opponent awaits us, led by world number two Novak Djokovic. It's only a pity that we won't be playing Croatia in the semi-finals in Prague. But we have to respect the reality and hope that our team is complete in the autumn, meaning with Tomáš Berdych and Radek Štěpánek. I think if we are complete, we'll be in with a chance, and we'll again want to win a place in the final, just as we did last year.
And the Czech Republic play the Serbs in the Davis Cup semi-finals in September. Cycling now, and Roman Kreuziger can enjoy a rare rest day at the Tour de France, after finishing a very impressive fourth in the eighth stage on Sunday, the first time riders were faced with the demanding inclines of the Alps. It was the Czech's best ever placing in the world's most famous cycling race and saw him climb to seventh overall. The Liquigas rider, who's 24, said he was satisfied with his performance, more or less.
The stage went well, of course. The leaders broke away from us at the end, which was a bit disappointing, as I felt good and I was in good form. But I'm completely relaxed. The gap isn't big, and I think I made up some ground compared to the others. So I'm totally relaxed before our rest day, and we'll see how things go in the next 2 weeks.
Roman Kreuziger, who finished ninth in the Tour de France last year, here's hoping he can improve on that placing this time out. Finally, football, and hasn't time flown? It feels like only recently that Sparta Prague won the Czech league title, and already the new season is about to start up. The first game of 2010-2011 is Bohemians 1905 versus Slavia Prague on Friday, and an interesting proposition it is too. The former will be the home side, though the game is being played at Slavia's Eden Stadium. After being forced to leave their traditional home at the nearby Djolicek, Bohemians are now sharing Eden with their Vršovice neighbours. That's all the sport for today.
Thanks to Ian Willoughby. As you heard earlier, the 45th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival came to an end on Saturday, when the closing ceremony was held at the Grand Hall in Hotel Thermal, the heart of the festival. The main jury awarded its Grand Prix to the Mosquito Net. Its president this year was Ron Yerxa, a successful American film producer. Our reporter Sarah Barufka caught up with him halfway through the festival to talk about the deliberation process, the film business, and the festival circuit for this week's edition of One on One.
Over the last 20 years, Ron Yerxa has produced a number of film hits. Together with his business partner Albert Berger, he has put out audience favorites such as the drama Cold Mountain or the massively successful road movie comedy Little Miss Sunshine, which won two Oscars. This year, Ron Yerxa was invited to preside over the grand jury at the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. Just after the halfway point of the Czech Republic's biggest film event, I asked him about his taste in movies, the festival as such, and what the experience of being a juror had been like.
Well, it's really been great. I mean, the jury is so diverse. You know, everyone's from a different country, and Korea and Australia and Europe. So they're very spirited, free-flowing, kind of wild discussions about the aesthetics of film and what works. So it's been kind of electrifying.
And how heated do those discussions get, and how do you settle disagreements and opinions?
Well, we haven't deliberated, you know, for the final decisions yet, but as president of the jury, I try to make sure that everybody has their say about each film, because some people are so much more outspoken than others, and there's a difference in the level of English. So we have to, I think everyone should be able to express themselves fully, whether they're soft-spoken or, you know, whether they're very animated.
And in terms of the festival as such, how do you find it? How do you find the atmosphere? How would you describe it?
Well, I think the festival is fantastic, great, so well organized, a lot of fun. I'd heard about it for years, and I was eager to come. When I got the invitation, I thought, wow, I've been wanting to go there. And my wife and I think, you know, it's like one of the greatest festivals because of how much activity is on the street, how well organized the screenings are. I love the idea that the main screening venue is totally filled and students are on the stairs. And I know Jude Law was really taken with that, the spirit and the kind of desire to see film and be part of film culture. So it's been, you know, a great festival. Reminds us a little bit of Telluride, which is in Colorado. It almost has a little bit of the feel because that's a small mining town. But and that's a festival we like, but really we couldn't have had a better experience. This has been a lot of fun and really, you know, edifying and a great exposure to filmmakers we wouldn't normally meet.
And in terms of film selection, would you say Carlo Vivari is an unusual film festival? Do you think they have some sections or a focus on maybe documentaries or films that you would say sets it apart from other European festivals?
Well, obviously there's a lot more emphasis on European and Eastern European films. So in that way, it's unique. I think it's pretty diverse as far as documentary and dramatic films and comedy. So, you know, the selection is good, and I think it gives a full spectrum. But I particularly was, you know, pleased to see a lot of Eastern European films.
And in terms of the festival circuit here in Europe and in the U.S. in general, what would you say, how do these two differ?
Being an American and used to festivals where everybody is super casual, it's kind of nice that there's a black tie opening and a black tie ending, and the formality of eating places, and it was a lot of fun to hang out for that day with Jude Law because of, you know, you get a feeling of how an actor is treated, and, you know, it just has a lot more grandeur and dignity here. And I like the Czech sense of humor. I didn't know how full that was, the irony and the kidding around. So I'm really pleased that I can joke around with everybody and they throw it right back at me.
Wonderful. And you're a very successful and well-known producer in the U.S. Maybe you could describe what the work of a producer actually entails. I guess most people would know it is about getting the money, but what does a producer do aside from that, and what would you say makes a good producer?
Well, it used to be in the U.S., a producer wasn't so much about getting the money. It was much more developing the script, getting the director, the cast, and really putting together the film so that it was, had some integrity as a whole. But in an odd way, I think American producers are becoming more like European producers in the sense that you have to put the money together from three or four or five sources, and you therefore are much more entrepreneurial. It used to be great in a way when you could just take your film to a studio and they'd say yes or no, or they'd help you build it. But now it's really like, you have to do a lot of that financial work yourself, which I think European producers always did.
And in terms of your taste in cinema, could you maybe mention a few films that you yourself enjoy thoroughly that you keep coming back to?
Well, the films that kind of got me going were Godfather, Godfather 2, Taxi Driver, Badlands. You know, I'm a big fan of American Beauty. You know, I was mentioning when I was in college, closely watched Trains in My Sweet Little Village were big films. Of course, Milos Forman is a big filmmaker, and we were just reviewing his films that he did. Fireman's Ball and Loves of a Blonde before he did Taking Off in the U.S. So those are all films that are that they meant a lot to me.
And lastly, what are your expectations for the rest of the festival? What are your hopes? And so on.
Well, one is to stay awake because I was staying up so late and drinking so much coffee. Last night I got sort of the chills and the shakes, and I thought, you know, I might have to take a day off. But we're going back to the two screenings tonight. So it's been so much fun and great meeting people. I hope we have a strong finish. I'm looking forward to the jury deliberation. And then I understand that the closing night show is often as entertaining as the opening night. So that should be fun, too.
That was U.S. film producer Ron Yerxa ending this week's One-on-One and our program for today. Check up on us online at radio.cz. For now, from me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.